Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to talk Riverside Dinner Theater this morning with Patrick Ahern, the producing artistic director here. A new production is underway at the Riverside. Patrick, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Good to be here.
It is My Fair Lady through May the 8th.
It is My Fair Lady, and wow. I mean, it's one of the classics. We are honored to get to present My Fair Lady. We almost didn't get to present it because there's two vying productions to as a Broadway revival. It's supposed to go back to Broadway.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Julie Andrews, the original Liza Doolittle, is attached to one of the projects. So as of, I think, the end of June, nobody's going to be receiving the rights to do it that hasn't already either been given the rights.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so on and so forth. But yeah, it's exciting to do it, and it also is exciting to do it. I mean, all the history in this area with the battlefields and
yeah.
George Washington, we're sort of doing something historic with My Fair Lady because it's the 60th anniversary of its opening on Broadway. It opened on March 15th. 1956. So,
oh, wow.
So it's kind of exciting to be presenting the show at that time.
Well, but, and the fact that for a lot of places it's not going to be out there for a while.
It probably will not be out
it.
There, and we got it. And the theater long before I came to Fredericksburg, I think the theater presented it maybe back in 2001. So it's been many years that it has played here, but it is such, I would have to say, definitely top 10 of all time musicals. For me, top 5. It's just so well written, you know, based on the play by George Bernard Shaw, Pygmalion, and the music by Lerner and Lowe, and it's your classic Cinderella story, you know, the Cockney girl Eliza Doolittle, who has blossoms into this just belle of the ball at the embassy ball when she's prepared as from the dialectician Henry Higgins, but it's just an outstanding outstanding production. Yeah.
One of these kind of My Fair Lady, we talked about this before, and I can't remember because it was one of your recent ones where you talked about some of these older productions.
Mm-hmm.
Just how well they're written, and just how the music and the script and everything that you can really notice some of these older ones.
The older ones, you know, Broadway is today much more about spectacle, and I say this so often that so many of the shows written today, it's what is it going to look like, and what's going to be our major gimmick to get people in the doors to pay $250, $300 a ticket. And then once they come up with those ideas, then they start to think about a book and a score and how they're going to flesh out the rest of the production. And you know, I don't mean to say that's all shows. I some of them still we have such creative influences with the show Hamilton that's on Broadway right now. That was born from an idea and came up from the ground as a creative project, and they fleshed it out to be this mega hit. But you don't get as many as in the golden years of Broadway, when there were you could have, you know, My Fair Lady and Hello Dolly and you know, some of the classics all
yeah.
opening at the same time. But back in the day, I think much more was the sets and the costumes and all of the glamour that was put on the stage was always left a little bit more to the imagination. And so that the story, the book, the music had to be the predominant. And if you had a great score and a great book, you know, you put the basics on stage and you let the
yeah.
audience, you know, imagine all the rest. And today, with the way the film industry has been, it's almost like you go to Broadway, you're seeing the movie. I mean, with
yeah.
all the, you know, with all the special effects that occur on Broadway now. But you know, I sound old when I say this because I remember when I was coming up the ranks as a youngin' in the business, some of my teachers used to say, well, they just don't write them like they used to. So I don't know if it's just a matter of time changes and things roll on or if it's really true, but I would lend to say you don't get the art behind the projects as much today as you used to in the golden years of Broadway.
Well, for people who are interested in the golden years, you've got a string of them coming up between this and then really the next three of them, right in a row.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're getting ready to bring back a show that was incredibly popular a year ago, The Music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't know if I would consider him total golden age, but going back to, you know, Jesus Christ Superstar in the 70s and in Evita, he was the British pop infusion to Broadway. He was the bellwether or the standard bearer for the pop opera to come to Broadway. So in a sense, yes, he's attached to that golden age. So we've got that coming up. And then we're going to do an all-new production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma. So that's one that takes you right back. And, of course, we're bringing back our second non-musical to the Riverside stage in September. We're doing Driving Miss Daisy, and that's a classic as well. So, we've got some good classics and some new stuff coming up.
These are exciting times. Mm-hmm. When I saw it right near the end, when I saw Buddy Holly, mm-hmm. and I think I was lucky to get in to see it at the end because I was there on a Friday night and it was packed.
It was packed. It was a show that just exploded here. I was told by, you know, a lot of the theaters that I talked to about the show that had done it in the past that, you know, within a week of its opening, word will spread and it'll go nuts. Mm-hmm. And it did. And I think it was something different that we had ever done.
Oh, what?
I think that it really touched upon our core audience. They remembered that music back in the 50s. And I think that, you know, from what I gathered in talking to so many of our audience members, it resonated. You know, a lot of them compared the day the music died to the Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. They all remembered that, and I think it was the amount of people that would actually get emotional. There was just a brief section in the show toward the end that alluded to to the death, and then we got back into the rock and roll. But people really moved, and so I didn't realize how much that it resonated with our certain core audience members and how much it meant to them. And you know, I think it's great when you can be in the business that we are in at Riverside and create memories for people. You know, they come back and they see a great show and it takes them back to a time when they had many fond reminiscences. And I think Buddy Holly was exactly that kind of show. And then the music, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. And the music also appealed to a younger audience, too. We had a lot of young kids come in. There were nights when some school groups would come and they would rush the stage and get up on we had a dance floor. And so it was just good to see people having a great time.
I was going to ask you about the dance floor. The night I was there, no one used it. It was interesting to me because you told me about some of the different audiences.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times people waited for that one. If one person did it,
would do it. Yeah.
Probably. And I think even with how the audience reacted, the night I was there, they got into it, but I don't think as much as I'd heard some other people who had gone.
It was different, you know,
every night.
Different nights. I mean, some nights it would be, you know, people who you'd expect to be up on the floor. And then we had some Wednesday matinees when, you know, the older crowd would mosey on over there. I saw one night a lady, she had come with her family. I think she was celebrating her 92nd birthday and they pulled her up over there and got her up. So it was a lot of fun. It was a nice added element to have. And of course, the cast would come out in the second act toward the end of the show. They would usually get out there and grab some people. So eventually, people would make their way over there. But it varied from night to night. But it was just a lot of fun, that show. I think it's a show that I would bring back in a heartbeat in the next 5 years.
Yeah. I watch it. I wondered because I felt leaving that kind of like Andrew Lloyd, music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. That night I just felt like, wow, this is really good. And I felt the same way. With
Buddy
that
Holly.
Exciting times at the Riverside. RiversideDT.com is where people need to get tickets, and I would think that My Fair Lady is not one you want to wait on.
You do not want to wait because it's a little bit shorter run. It's 7.5 weeks total. So we've only got to May the 8th, and it's a very popular show. People love My Fair Lady. That's one of the reasons why we were doing it, because it was high on our audience poll. So do not wait, because you know, we just opened this past week, and it was a pretty full week, being Easter week. I was amazed to see the amount of people that came out, because normally on a holiday time it's a little you know, lighter, but we had nice crowds over the weekend. So do not wait. You want to see this production. It's outstanding.
RiversideDT.com is where you can get ticket information, and we'll get the phone number and get all that when we come back. Patrick Ahern is here. More coming up in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. TourStaffordVA.com. Patrick Ahern is here. We're talking about the Riverside. I keep calling it the Riverside Dinner Theater, and you are that, but it's the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts now, isn't it?
We still serve dinner. Are now the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, yes.
And that in itself is an exciting development and something that has just kind of transformed.
Well, I think we are somewhat of a performing arts center. You know, we have the children's theater there, and we do the summer camps in the summer, and we're looking into some great ideas of having more of a performing arts school, and we're looking into doing, you know, having some one-nighter concert events at Riverside. So, you know, I'd like to think our location puts us in a good position to be that performing arts venue for Stafford County and also for Fredericksburg. And, you know, we want to reach out. I know a lot of the local groups in the area are looking for performance venues from time to time, and we want to embrace that. We want, you know, in our dark nights, if some of the local groups or orchestras or whatever want to partner with us and do something at Riverside, we would welcome that. So I think it's all about the performing arts for the area.
Boy, and I think you look at the number of groups that are doing productions themselves, whether it's Christian Youth Theater or a number of those different kind of groups that do their own kind of productions, to be able to kind of be in your shadow and to kind of go along and learn from a lot of the professionals that you're working with.
Yes.
That's invaluable. That helps everybody.
Well, and it's a win-win, because a lot of the people that we bring in from out of town, some of the celebrities like Sally Struthers, you know, our local youth can learn, can get invaluable experience from observing. You know, we can do master classes for people in the community. I just think you have to be constantly growing and coming up with great ideas to infuse the community with the arts.
So no, it's exciting to see just how things continue to grow and just even the productions that you're able to put on. You think a few years ago, the range of productions that you're doing now, we haven't always seen at Riverside.
You have to stay current. You have to stay. Your organization, your theater, has to be able to create that buzz that wants to bring people in, and you have to shake it up. You have to do, like we were just talking, we do the classics, and then we do newer projects. Mm-hmm. And you have to be, especially with the area itself becoming more and more of a bedroom community of Washington, D.C., and the accessibility of we got the train station in downtown Fredericksburg. You know, our audiences, many of them will tell me, oh, we were in New York last week. We took the train up for the day and we went to see two shows on a Wednesday and we came back at night. And so you're not to say competing with Broadway, but your audiences are, because they get to New York to see a lot of the shows, they know the quality. They know what's out there, and so not that we can become a Broadway theater in Fredericksburg, but we want to aspire to be the best that we can be in order for our audiences to walk out and say, wow, I didn't think... What I love hearing when people leave Riverside is, I didn't think you could top the last one, and you did it again. And you really have to think that way, because I think, you know, the majority of my adult life was as a performer. And, you know, I had six agents over the course of time, and all of them used to say to me, you know, Patrick, you're only as good as your last show.
Yeah.
No, they can remember how great you were in this and how great you were in that, but what are you doing right now? Or when you'd go in for an audition, you better be on your game, because that's what they're going to remember. They're not going to remember, you know, any award you won or what. And that's the way it is with a theater. You are only as good as your last show. You know, people still talk about Les Mis. Now, that was one of our, you know, productions that had such a far reach. We ran it 17 weeks. It was sort of our gold standard.
Oh, it was just epic.
You know, but that's memory, you know, and it's a great memory. But how good is the show that you're doing right now? Mm-hmm. So we work very hard to be the best that we can be for what we present on that stage.
With this week being spring break, someone told me yesterday that their wife and daughter were going up to New York, and they were going to catch a couple of shows, and I just made mention, have you guys ever gone to Riverside?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what do they do there?
What?
And there's still, you know,
still
the
people in this area. Yeah.
Still people who think,
yeah,
well, that's just another, that's, it's, you know, it's just local theater.
Well, I had a couple come in yesterday, the matinee of My Fair Lady, and they just were peeking in the door. And they said, "I said, do you need some help?" And they said, "No. We just drove by the place. Somebody told us about this place. We were from New York, and we've just moved to this area. And somebody told us that there was a theater here." And I said, "Well, come on in." And I showed them the space, and they were like, "Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
we wouldn't really, you know, didn't know that we would have this kind of a venue in the area."
Yeah.
And so I told them a little bit about myself, and you know, we had a New York connection. They had just moved down. They were living in Staten Island. And anyway, I think because there is a large influx of new people that are moving to this region, not everybody knows about us. We're always still getting the word out. The audiences and the attendance has grown so much, but you can never be off your game. You always got to get the word out.
And if you haven't been to Riverside in 5 or 10 years,
exactly,
give it another look.
It's a different, you have to grow. I mean, we're coming upon the 20th anniversary of the theater in another year, and you're constantly reinventing and raising the bar, because you're not going to keep your audiences. Your audiences, like we're talking about, there's many other things out there, and you want to keep them home. You want to keep them local.
Yeah.
You've got to present something that makes it they're worthwhile to be there. So.
Take some friends to Riverside. I mean, we've done that, and everybody who walks in, as soon as they walk in, with the tiered seating and everything, immediately
they're amazed.
Like,
they're amazed.
Wow, I didn't know it was like this.
And we'll get into it in a little while. But the people that have been in to see My Fair Lady this past week, it is a beautifully designed production. You look at it and you go, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, this looks like a Broadway production. Style production. So please come in, and when you do come over to Riverside, please say hello to me. I love meeting new people. I love, you know, talking with our audience members. I like to hear the good and the bad. It's, you know, I always say this on the stage, it's always great to hear all the wonderful things about Riverside, but it's, you know, even more important sometimes if people have some suggestions or they'd like to see us, you know, improve something. I think everybody's input is great.
The My Fair Lady is through May 8th. We're going to get into in the next segment, get into a lot of the nuts and bolts on that. One of the things, though, before we take a break, season tickets.
Yes.
Consider that, because it's a deal, and
it knocks about, you know, for a six-show season, you end up knocking $10 off each show per ticket. So it's a great value, and with these the shows that we're choosing, you know, you should do it. And we're getting more and more people now that are buying the season tickets. And it's a great value.
RiversideDT.com. If someone wants to call and talk to somebody, how do they do that?
It's just area code 540-370-4300. And, you know, sometimes we can be really busy. So they're really good at the box office. If you get in a queue or you have to leave a message, they will call you back. Or you're more than welcome to, you know, stay on hold and they will get to you. But we've become very popular and therefore it means a lot of calls that come in. So, yeah, call in, get your tickets, and don't miss My Fair Lady.
Patrick Ahern is the producing artistic director at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford. My Fair Lady through May 8th. We'll talk about My Fair Lady when we come back on a Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, coming up on 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. It's the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning. Patrick Ahern is here, and it is My Fair Lady. You have more than just a passing interest in this. You're involved intimately with this show itself, Patrick.
Well, yeah, and it actually goes way back when, because it's one of the first shows that I did professionally.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the first shows that I ever did in this area. I did My Fair Lady over at a place, it's no longer there, but it was called the Harlequin Dinner Theater in Rockville, Maryland.
Okay.
And that, my mom and dad had moved to Fredericksburg, and I had just graduated from Syracuse University. Go Orange, by the way, in the,
We have issues.
that was the first time I had done My Fair Lady, and it became a show that I would do quite often. I played the role of Freddie Einsford Hill, who sings On the Street Where You Live. And there was a co-production with many of the opera companies back in the early 90s. And so I did Freddie in all those co-productions. And then I was lucky enough to do the European Broadway National Tour back in, I think it was 92, 93, which starred Maximilian Schell, who won the Academy Award for Judgment at Nuremberg.
Oh, okay.
He played Henry Higgins in that production. So I'm quite familiar with the show and have performed in it, you know, often. So when we decided to do it, with everything that's on my plate, it was one that I knew I wanted to direct, so yes, I was at the helm of this production here at Riverside with a great team behind me, Shauna Hallen and Walker, that she choreographed our production of West Side Story almost 2 years ago, and she danced in the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. She was the featured female dancer. She choreographed My Fair Lady, so we've had a great team working on the show.
I've never seen the Broadway, the version of it, just the movie, but it seems like it's a big show.
It's a big show. And people, you know, because the movie was so popular, it's people expect what I call the eye candy with the show. You have to the look of it is very important, and the costuming has to be. There's a number that they when Eliza Henry Higgins takes Eliza Doolittle to meet his mother at her box at Ascot. That is just the quintessential black and white, the costumes, the whole Ascot Gavotte number is classic with regards to My Fair Lady. And I was very lucky. I think I would have to say that this is probably in one of our top five at Riverside most well-rounded productions, where all the elements come together. We have an outstanding set, an outstanding costume design, an outstanding lighting design. The cast is terrific. The orchestra is great, and it makes you feel good when all those elements can come together. The set is outstanding. I wanted to do the show with a one-unit set because so many times with My Fair Lady, to transition to the different locations and then your predominant scenes sit in Henry Higgins' study in his house. And so many times when that happens, you have all your exterior scenes that take place with drops or everything that has to be done downstage, and your study scene ends up being way upstage. And one of the things we try to do at Riverside, and I think what people really enjoy, is that they feel like they're pulled right into the action. Mm-hmm. And we have that great thrust now at Riverside. So My Fair Lady, the design I went with, brilliant designer, by the way, Adam Koch, his design's just incredible, makes all the scenes that take place in Henry Higgins' house and in the study, you're almost right out in the audience. It happens downstage. And so the set design is great. And it's two-level set. So you get this grandeur of the production. And way upstage at its furthest point, it's this beautiful 18-foot gazeboed window that just sits in the entire production. You see it with different looks. There's this huge panel that sits in the Higgins study that's a phonetics panel. And every time you go into the study, you see this panel that sets up on the upper tier. Beautiful staircase. And it's just to look at the production. People were coming out yesterday from the Sunday matinee and just shaking their heads on how beautiful it was. The costumes, we rented a lot of the costumes from a designer out of New York, Jim Halliday, who has done the show quite a few times. And so it was a collaboration between he and our resident designer, Gay Law. She did all our the Cockneys in the lower class outfits. So just the look of the show is tremendous. Probably, I would have to say, if not the best, one of the best lighting designs we have ever had at Riverside. A gentleman who lives in New York by the name of Joe Thompson, who, believe it or not, is from Stafford. And he stayed with his grandmother when he was here in town. And his lighting, I've never seen such depth on the Riverside stage. And sometimes, you know, we achieve that depth, but then we sacrifice some kind. It can be a little dark, or you don't see faces well. And this show, his design just it's absolutely beautiful. And the cast is spectacular. Thomas Adrian Simpson, who is a Stafford County native. He was Javert in our production of Les Mis, and he played Franklin Hart in our production of 9 to 5 with Sally Struthers. Yeah. Tom is just a consummate actor, great voice, not only speaking voice, but singing voice. And he is just superb as Henry Higgins. Just, you know, audiences will fall in love with him. And Quinn Vogt Welch, who was Christine when we did our production of Phantom that I was up there in. We took a lot of time in choosing her to do Phantom, and she also did Maria in our production of West Side Story, and she's back playing Eliza Doolittle. And I think this is probably her best role. I mean, she masters the gutter snipe Eliza Doolittle, and then she becomes the elegant Eliza. So it's really, I have to be objective because, you know, when you do direct the show, you know, you're naturally going to build it up. But I say this objectively too. I think it's just an outstanding production.
And to add to all of this is the live orchestra.
And the live orchestra. Yeah, we've been doing that now, and so many people will stop me and say, "Wow!" I mean, that it's the full complement now. You get the real theater experience, and you know it's a challenge. People don't recognize the costs that go into doing these productions, but it makes me feel good that our attendance has risen to a place where we're able to push it and present the best that we can present here. But everybody is enjoying the live orchestra. And, you know, for a show like My Fair Lady or for MAME that we had just done, we have the orchestra pit to audience left. And so many of the audience members have said to me, it's great to watch the action on stage. And then out of the corner of your eye, you see these musicians playing.
Yeah.
And it's the energy between the two that make it so exciting. So you're seeing a full-fledged Broadway show right here in Stafford County in Fredericksburg.
As we get together and do these before each show, I learned so much, but it's amazing to think that you have to get the set, to get the costumes, to get the lighting, that it all, it's not just get up on the stage and perform.
No.
It all has to work together.
People do not realize all that goes into it. I mean, it's a lot of it's a lot of vision. It's a lot of thinking. And thinking ahead too. And you're, I mean, to this day, you know, I'm already thinking about season 20, and that's an anniversary season for us. But a lot goes into it. You have to, you know, choose the designers, and you have to the auditions and the guest directors that have to be chosen, the choreographers, the music directors. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. And then what a great sense of accomplishment when you are able to produce something that is outstanding. And what I feel good about is I think we've come to a place now where there's a consistency and the quality of what we're presenting. And that's what keeps your audiences happy. Because ultimately, Ted, you know, that's the people you got to please. You can do the best production in the world, but if there's only five people out there watching it, I mean, it's great for those five people, but you can't sustain it with the costs. And yeah. I'm happy to say that we've been able to aspire to be the best that we can be because our audiences are responding.
And you also have to take into account things that you never expected to happen. And you've had a number of those happen, whether it's been broken bones
or weather or illness. But that's life. You know, have to, I've learned as I get older to just, when there's a major emergency, the first thing I try to do now is breathe and just, you know, don't go to the place of panic. Just try to, you know, focus and it'll come out. And I always say this, trust the angels. You know, I think we all have great angels looking over us. And it's amazing. We just had a situation, you don't know about this, but it was the week before, the weekend before we closed in Buddy Holly, we had that stomach virus that was going around.
Yeah.
We had three or four people. Everybody was going down with it. And I thought, oh, my God. And Buddy Holly had a very specialty, you know, the musicians had to act and play and do the whole. So it's not easy to find. It's not like your typical understudy to have waiting in the wings to go on.
Yeah.
And the week before we closed that Sunday performance, our drummer, Jamie Piddle, who was outstanding, I got a call in the morning saying that he was down for the count, that he had been up all night with this stomach thing, and there was no way he was going to get in. And
he was really like a key part to that whole thing.
And I was like, what are we going to do? And we were putting the word out, trying to do everything possible. And Jeremy Renner, who was the other guitarist in the show, who was brilliant too, he was trying to figure out, well, maybe I can play the drums. We go down one guitar, and we didn't know what we were going to do. We had calls out. One guy was going to try to get on the train and get down from New York, you know, quick enough. And out of the blue, one of the actors and dancers that's been with us now for a few shows, Stephanie Wood, she said to somebody, her boyfriend happened to be he was on his way back to West Virginia from Philadelphia, and he was not sort of in the area, and he was a great drummer and could he help? And we got him on the phone, and he continued his drive on 95 rather than veering off to make his way to wherever he was going. And he came down and had 45 minutes to get together with Todd Meredith, who was playing Buddy, and Jeremy Renner, who was the other guitarist. And he went on and did the show for us. He'd never done Buddy Holly before in his life. And he did not miss a beat. So that's when I say, don't panic.
Yeah.
There's people looking out for us. You trust that. And it doesn't always work out that way. But more than enough times, it does work in our favor.
It is My Fair Lady. It is at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through May the 8th. And this is so well known.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That I would think this, it's not like anybody has to think.
No.
Do we want to see this?
Yeah.
Of course, right. And this is the kind of show, Patrick, where you can, you know, take your Sunday school group or take some of your neighbors or take your family.
It's a classic story. There's nothing in it. You know, so many times today with the newer shows that come out, you have to be worried about language or adult situations. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
This is just a beautiful show to take the family to. It is a classic, so there's so much to be learned from it. Those of you who aspire to be in the arts, those youth of our area, if you come and see this production and learn, watch some of these brilliant actors that are on the stage. We've got a guy, first timer with us, Doug Schneider, who's come over, equity actor from Charlottesville, Virginia, and he's playing Eliza Doolittle's father, Elfie Doolittle. He's terrific. And I mean, just some of our strong actors that we've had on the stage in previous productions, Robert Beard, who played my father in Phantom, and he was just Mr. Babcock in Mame. He's playing Colonel Pickering. The lovely Carol Hagee, who's done a lot of our character performances.
So fun when she comes in here.
Yeah, she's playing Mrs. Higgins, and she's terrific. Andrea Kahane playing Mrs. Pierce. Calvin Malone, who's been with us now for quite some time, a year. He's been in many of our productions. He's from out of town, playing Freddie Einsford Hill, sings the crap out of On the Street Where You Live.
Yeah.
And of course, Quinn Vogt Welch is just absolutely lovely. It's not easy to find the voice. I mean, she was trained classically at Penn State University, but she is such an actor. I mean, Eliza Doolittle is probably one of the most difficult roles to pull off, and she does it with such grace and elegance, and she pulls you into the story. She breaks your heart. And then Tom Simpson, I just can't say enough about how terrific he is. So what's been great to watch, it's so unlike Buddy Holly. It's just the story that pulls you in. You don't have all these huge guitar licks and people jumping up on the stage and all that jamming, and yet every performance that we've had thus far at the end of the show, and the end of the show isn't—it's just a charming ending. There's no big finish,
right?
But when they come out for their bows, the audience is up on their feet. You cannot hear a pin drop. We opened this past Wednesday, the 23rd, to a packed house of seniors, and I was delighted. Usually, during the first act of many of our shows, they're up and down quite a few times to get to the men's room or the ladies' room. I hardly saw anybody move. And the first act of My Fair Lady is about an hour and a half. Everybody's been pulled into it. And so if you want to come and see the complement of all those elements that I just talked about, sets, lights, costumes, acting, story, music, orchestra, it doesn't get much better than My Fair Lady.
RiversideDT.com, 540-370-4300 to get a hold of Riverside and get some tickets for My Fair Lady through May 8th. We'll wrap it up with Patrick Ahern when we come back in Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Patrick Ahern with us this morning, the producing artistic director at the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts in Stafford County. My Fair Lady going on through May the 8th. You've got a busy schedule yourself, Patrick. This and the next two, you're involved with directing. And must say that and give you credit. And when it comes up and we do the show on the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, that you picked the music for that, and that really was something. That was one of your dreams to put something like that together.
Yeah, I performed in the show many years ago, and I always thought, gee, it'd be great to do it again and rethink it. And so it's something that very proud of Riverside Center for producing something like that a year ago, and it generated a lot of interest. I've been contacted by some national touring organizations that would love to think about you know, taking it somewhere. So it makes you feel good when you try something new, and the audiences really responded to it. I mean, people saw that show 4 and 5 times and still are coming back. I run into people that say, you know, we're coming back to see it again. Are there going to be anything new in it? And I said, we'll see. You know, we have some surprises. But I mean, with my job as the producing artistic director now, I can't, you know, direct as much as I used to and as I would like to. But you want to stay in the game. It's good for me to always stay exercised as a director. And I didn't plan it particularly well, but when I took on My Fair Lady, I made that decision a long time ago that I was going to do it before we knew that we were going to bring back music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. And of course, that I will be restaging with my partner Penny Ann Moss. And then when we were planning next season and we decided to do Oklahoma, I reached out to Penny and I said, I think it'd be great if you do Oklahoma. And she said, well, I'll do Oklahoma, but I'll only do it if you do it with me. And and I said, well, sure, I'll do it, but you don't think in terms of, oh, okay, now I've got 3 in a row. So but I love it. I mean, it's really great to, you know, to put all the elements together, and then I'll have a break, you know, from the directing duties. But it can be a long day. You know, we start our day 9:30, 10 o'clock over at Riverside. And then when you're directing a show, a lot of our rehearsals are in the evening. So you can sometimes be there from 10 in the morning until midnight. Mm. And, but you know, you have to love what you do. I mean, especially when it comes to the theater. And I'm lucky to be able to have a job that I love. You know, a lot of people don't have that experience. So I'll keep doing it as long as I'm loving it.
My Fair Lady through May the 8th. We've talked about it throughout the hour, but as you mentioned, it's a big show.
Get
your tickets now.
Get your tickets now. You do not. I'm telling you right now, you do not want to miss it. If you love the classics, and you are a connoisseur of the classics, and of course, My Fair Lady, I think this is one that is not to be missed. Absolutely.
RiversideDT.com, 370-4300. You always say if you go the phone route, you may have to wait a little bit, but you'll get called back.
Oh, you'll get called back. Yeah, just be patient with them, and you know, somebody will help you. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, this is fun, Patrick. The My Fair Lady. I've heard a lot of people say that they're coming or they've gone. And
sales have been huge. That's why, you know, don't wait to the last minute to get your tickets, because we've got about 6.5 weeks left. I know that seems like a lot of time, but you know, before you know it, with just 5 shows a week, then you want to get the seats that you love over there. You got to call earlier now, because you know, we're on people's radar much more than ever before.
Patrick, thank you. We'll get together with you in a couple of weeks with some of the cast of the show.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Ted.
Town Talk, powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.